I am Planta on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Linda Solomon joins me now. She is the founding publisher of the Vancouver Observer. She's fashioned it as a sort of Huffington Post for this part of the world, for Vancouver and the surrounding area. She has written for the International Herald Tribune and the LA Times. We'll talk about the Vancouver Observer, the stories covered there, and the issues arising in our town. The website is vancouverobserver.com. In Vancouver this day, please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Linda Solomon. Good morning, Ms. Solomon.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, yourself?
Good.
I understand last week there was a party relaunching the website?
Yes, we had a relaunch party at Kaylee's.
And the turnout was rather good, was it?
We had about 200 people, and it was, you know, a crowd consisting of bloggers and reporters and business people, and it was really great. It was really fun.
How does Vancouver rate when it comes to bloggers and the community here?
I think that this is Vancouver has an amazingly engaged and alive community of bloggers due to the kind of media landscape that there is in Vancouver. There's a strong alternative media here.
And how long have you lived in Vancouver?
I've lived here for 3 years.
You lived previously in the United States, did you?
Well, I actually moved here from Cortez Island, which is up north. I had moved from Manhattan to Cortez, spent 5 years on Cortez, and then came to Vancouver.
Yeah, and so how long has the site been up?
The site was launched 3 years ago, but it was really under the radar, and I spent a lot of time kind of, you know, knowing that it was under the radar and wanting to have a long period to be able to really build it up and see what I was doing. I was, you know, coming from old school journalism when I kind of began it, and I knew that I needed time to just understand how to work with software and to develop writers and to just even figure out what I wanted to do with it and what needed to be done.
When you talk about the media landscape in Vancouver with regards to alternative media blogs and the sort, internet, and you come from this background of old school journalism, as you just said, what do you think when we mix the two, what do you think we get? Do we get a mixture of both, or do we get something totally different?
That's a great question, and I'm still discovering that, but I think that the answer is pretty easy for me at this point, which is that we get an evolution. You know, it's part of evolution, the way things, you know, an ape becomes a man. You know, we get something different, but they're related. You can still see the ape in the man. You can still see old school journalism on the Vancouver Observer, and yet the medium has shifted everything radically. And, you know, just starting from the point of, like, what is a headline on a website, on a news website, as opposed to what is a headline in a print newspaper? Those are two very different things.
But does that mean, though, the end of the newspaper, the end of radio, the end of television, do you think, these media that we're used to?
No. I definitely don't think so. I think that there will always be something special, something unique and irreplaceable about holding something in your hands, being able to sit down with it, have it on print, and what it's like to be online and read things, you know. And so I think print is not going to disappear, but, you know, given the cost of it and given the economy, I think that, you know, online journalism is just, you know, a really powerful and fantastic alternative that is just as good and in many ways better.
Now, I understand that the Observer has had its own print version now?
Yes, we came out with a print edition and to celebrate, well, just sort of to bring attention to the website and to the relaunch. That was what we thought we were doing, but in fact, you know, watching that come off that paper, come off the printing presses, you know, it was an emotional moment for me.
I'll bet, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just, it is really incredible to see the thing in print. And it wasn't until I really saw that myself and sat down with it and looked at what we had done that I could fully absorb the quality of what's on the website. You know, there's just a way that when you look at things in cyberspace, they're so transitory. They're so, you know, they're here, they're gone. You don't dwell on them, really. So to have the paper and to really be able to dwell on, you know, some of these pieces that we had run on the website really was an incredible thing. And I could fully grasp the quality of the writing and the depth of the reporting and the, you know, the insight that was in the pieces.
And we can pick that up where?
Well, that also has really come and gone. We did one run of it, and we put it around town. We printed 10,000 copies. It was in community centers, the libraries. It was in coffee shops. But if you didn't get it then, which was last weekend, you'd have to email me and ask me for a copy, and I would send you one. And I have probably 250 of them left, which I held back so that, you know, I would have them. But, yeah, that was it. And so now we have to assess whether we're going to do it again.
Now, the goal of the Observer is what? I mean, what are some of the stories that you and some of the features that you have on there? I mean, I enjoy reading it, but to tell our audience who perhaps haven't been there yet, what will they see when they go there?
Well, what they will see is really, you could say, a full-scale city newspaper. But in a way, they'll see more than that. They'll see a newspaper, like a full-scale city newspaper plus magazine. Some of the articles are magazine-quality articles, and they're long articles, and some of the articles are just like, you know, local news. We cover all the arts and politics and sports and, you know, everything going on around town. And plus, we do in-depth investigative news reporting. Like the cover of our print edition featured a story that we did for the online edition that was about what is one of the biggest threats potentially to the Olympics, you know, which the government is clearly, somebody's looking at it that way, which is a chlorine plant. The potential of a terrorist attack, and how that might be related or not to the fact that chlorine travels the rails through Vancouver. So we took a look at that. And, you know, that's the kind of story you won't really easily find somewhere else. Our reporter took 6 weeks and, you know, really probed into that story.
It's a fascinating piece. From the feedback that you get, do you get a sense of who makes up your audience?
Yes and no. I certainly know who subscribes, and I would say, you know, our subscribers are, you know, like most of the city council, I think probably all of the city council and the mayor and many, many business leaders and lots of activists and, you know, university professors, students. I think the Vancouver Observer does serve an educated audience that is hungry for substance. That was one of the things that when we came out with the print edition, Counselor Ellen Woodsworth called me and to say, "Oh my God, this is so great! I hadn't really been able to, you know, I'm not she's I don't know how old she is, but she's 50 something at least, and she doesn't enjoy reading online that much, and she just said, I've been hungry for substance." And so I think that the Vancouver Observer is serving an audience in Vancouver that is hungry for substance. And there's not a lot of substance available in the media in Vancouver today.
Do you read the other blogs? I mean, the other one that I can think of, the Tie, do you read them?
Well, I've written for the Tie ever since I came to Vancouver. The first story that I wrote in Vancouver was for the Tie. I wrote the Taib took it, and it was also run on the little baby website of the Vancouver Observer. And I do read the Taib, and part of why I kept doing the Vancouver Observer was because the Taib is a regionally focused publication. And thank God for the Taib. I mean, the Taib does really strong reporting. They have really strong writers. Their articles are interesting and engaging. The Taib is just a fabulous publication. And I think David Beers, who runs the Taib, has done an incredible job. And I have a lot of admiration for many of the writers who, you know, also have done an incredible job in making the Taib what it is. So, but they aren't interested in running local stories all the time. You know, so I would often go, I mean, I had a number of occasions where I went to the Taib with a local story that I wanted to write, and they were, and the Dave's response was, well, you know, is there a regional angle on it? And if I couldn't find one, at that point he wasn't that interested, because that's not their mandate. And you never know when that could change, but that has been the situation. So I saw a gap, and, you know, just really kept filling it.
And the other blogs that you read, I mean, I was talking to Mike.
Beyond Robson, yeah. Which is great, and there's this fantastic new site called Vancouver is Awesome, which is, you know, all, it's an art site, and it's wonderful. And there's Miss 604, who's a fabulous blogger, and she blogs about, you know, all over, all tons of stuff about Vancouver. And, oh, God, you know, there's a huge list of local blogs on the Taib. They've, you know, I think, got just about every one. And, you know, we're a really blogging-rich community. But what makes the Vancouver Observer different is that, you know, I come from a really, really strong background in journalism, and a lot of who comes to write for the Vancouver Observer are graduates of journalism programs, interns from journalism programs, interns from, like, Capilano College Film School, interns from Emily Carr. This is more of a substance. I don't want to say more of, because that's not really fair, but we are a substance-driven publication. You know, we are trying to take the tools of traditional journalism and apply them to online reporting, local reporting. You know, but we are reporters and bloggers, not just bloggers.
Back to the audience and who they are. I was talking to Mike Klassen from citycaucus.com earlier.
Yeah.
And and I talked to Jonathan Ross from civicscene.ca mm-hmm. this morning. There seems to be a lot of these sorts of websites discussing municipal affairs on a political level, on politics, just basically politics. Do you find that with this increase of talk on online, whether it's people like Michael Geller or Stephen Reese and the sort, that the citizen, the reader, perhaps is more informed about civic issues, or they're more engaged municipally?
I think that there is no doubt that online reporting and blogging has engaged people more politically.
And it's not just their friends reading it, perhaps.
No, I think people come to these blogs also through search engine searches.
Yeah.
You know, curiosity about an issue, seeking an answer to a question. So I think they get around far beyond, you know, I know Jonathan Ross's work, and I know that his work goes far beyond him, that people respect him a lot as a political commentator. And just like somebody, you know, he might have had, in the olden days, he might have had a column in the local newspaper. But now, this is, you know, he has his blog, and word gets around about who has something valuable to say. And I would say that's true of Michael Geller. You know, like, Michael has an opinion that, you know, comes from a very, from his point of view, that is a very interesting opinion. And City Caucus, you know, is, I look at City Caucus when I want to know what, you know, someone with a more NPA-focused point of view is thinking. And I think they're doing high-quality, high-quality position-based reporting/blogging. I think they're doing a good job at what they do. I think, you know, that's what I mean. I just think we've got a lot happening here that's really good.
It just seems to me that, you know, we all know that voter turnout on the municipal level is very low. And I guess we won't know until the next election whether people are actually engaged.
You mean, can the bloggers engage people more?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. And you're right, we won't really know. I mean, it's not like the blogging community was around during the last election, too. So we do know that voter turnout, I guess, was low. And, yeah, it's that's not good. You know, so I think that part of what I'm trying to do on the Vancouver Observer is to create a publication online that is less position-based and more a place people can go and see a lot of points of view and read stories that are more, you know, just attempting to be balanced. You know, of course, we have blogs, and blogs are places where people come from a position, and, you know that. But in terms of articles, we're not just blogging. We have our articles column, and, you know, we're reporting. So, you know, I think we all do have to, and I think we are all looking for ways to engage more people, you know, and how do you do that? And it is really important. But somehow Obama got to, you know, Obama broke that barrier in the United States through social networking and online journalism, and I think, you know, we got to do that here too.
Well, what can we expect in the Observer in the coming days?
Well, I was just having lunch before I got here with Chris Krug, who is doing the W2 Center downtown and really involved with online networking and media in the Olympics and alternative coverage of the Olympics. And I realized that I've been putting all my energy into developing the infrastructure of the website for one goal, which was to be in a position to provide the best coverage of the Olympics that's going to happen in Vancouver. And that now's the time that it's happening. And the story is here. So I'm going to be out more on the streets, in the restaurants, in the art galleries all over town, talking to people and trying to tell that story, trying to tell their story, which is the story of the Olympics in Vancouver.
Well, we'll continue reading, Linda. I appreciate you coming on to tell us about the site, and congratulations on the relaunch. And as I said, yeah, we'll keep reading it.
Great. Thank you. I hope so.
The website is thevancouverobserver.com. Linda Solomon on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.